It's me, Mark Lloyd.
The Mark Lloyd is actually talking to The Rock.
Mark Lloyd.
Has his man wide open. Oh, that's yeah. Bailey at the 15 and 5. Touchdown, Mario Bailey.
Mark Lloyd.
What do we want as a sports fan? Huh? What do we want?
Mark Lloyd.
Have you had any water today?
There's water in my lemonade.
There you go. So I'm not a huge fan of vegetables. Okay, so how can I eat some? This, you know, just blend them up.
Sit back, relax, and let this guy do all the thinking for you. Mark Lloyd.
Hello, everyone. It's the Mark Lloyd Show coming at you as we do each and every Saturday morning. As always, we appreciate you tuning in to the Mark Lloyd Show. I am Mark Lloyd. The rest of the crew is Seminole Bill. Seminole, how are you?
Doing well, Mark. Right here, ready to go, man.
And also, Terminus Eric, who's usually quiet, but let's see if we get a response out of him. Terminus, how are you?
I am doing well. How are you?
You know what, Seminole Bill, not bad. Five words.
Yeah, we got more than the usual. That's great.
See, you know what, though? That shows what kind of guys you and I are, Bill. Because normally, the people that talk the most, that's me and you, we just want to hog all the airtime, but we're friendly. We want Terminus Eric to have more to say and everything like that. But on the flip side, though, you got to love a producer that doesn't want to hog the radio time. So I think we have a perfect little mixture here, like a little chemistry. We have a whole triangle run offense, I think, on the Mark Lloyd Show.
There you go.
Yes, absolutely.
I have to say, it all started, though, the switch, because it used to be more talkative, but it switched. When he started drinking more water, maybe it's the sugar getting out of his system. Maybe he's just mellowing down a little bit.
The sugar lull is what it is, though, but that's not a bad thing, not at all. Well, Seminole Eric, as always, we have a busy show for everybody out there. Lots of picks to talk about. In our first segment, we'll get into the college football landscape. Our second segment, we jump into Florida State football and talk about the defeat of the Seminoles to the Clemson Tigers. Our third segment is the locker room report of the Buccaneers as they lose a heartbreaker against the New York Giants. Once again, the Winston plays strong, as he does every week now. And, of course, our fourth segment is our water check, our entertainment segment, and our fitness tip to go along with a little more NFL talk. We always get some of the Bills predictions in our final segment when it comes to that. But let's bring it all back to the world of college football. The new rankings have come out after last weekend's big matchups took place. Clemson is a solid number one representing the ACC. Number two is Alabama. Number three, it's a shame, but Ohio State is still third in the country. And number four, another one-loss team. So two one-loss teams are in the top four. The fourth team is is Notre Dame. And how ironic is it that Clemson has beaten Notre Dame, but Notre Dame is right there. And if the season ended today, it would be Clemson in a repeat matchup against Notre Dame.
No, that's just.
And I don't think the playoff committee wants that.
No. Now there'll be some switching around if it ends up like that.
I agree 100%, but that's the way it would fall if the season did end today. Looking back at last weekend and a couple of giant matchups, we'll talk about Florida State Clemson, but the other big daddy on the day was of course, Alabama taking on LSU with Leonard Fournette coming to town, the Heisman Trophy leading candidate, and it was all Alabama. They absolutely obliterated LSU, shut them down, crushed them. There's no other way to talk about it. Alabama's front seven was truly impressive, completely shut down LSU. And what that shows you is that Alabama loses the teams that can throw the football. Their weakness is their secondary, make no doubt about it. But if you can't throw it, and Brandon Harris took a step back and just could not throw the football at all, then you're going to be in some deep trouble because it's really, really difficult. Whether you like Alabama or not, it's hard to run against that defense, Seminole Bill.
Yeah, they're built, I mean, really built with a front, you know, six, seven guys up there that can just smother you and just get after you. And if your game plan is based off of having to run the ball well to throw the ball, which kind of what LSU – is doing right now. In other games where they can run Fournette like he gets multiple yards and all that, and sets up some really good passing downs for them at second and five or second even shorter. I mean, it's a lot easier in that situation than looking at these third and longs and or second and 15 after you took a big hit behind the line of scrimmage. Bama can really bring the heat, and it plays right into their hands, just kind of like we talked about. And Fournette's a great running back; he's going to have his day. But against a team like that, it's you're going to have to find
out
what
to
do. Yeah, it was tough.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And you mentioned it; that was a great point, Simba Bill. It played right into Alabama's hands, and what also plays into Alabama's hands. And I'm surprised LSU didn't kind of. I mean, they knew that, and that is just running a normal offense against Bama time to substitute. I mean, they're extremely deep. And what you do against teams like Alabama, against Florida State, and teams like that is you try to go quick. And if you go quick, they can't substitute. So now you're playing your guys against their guys. So Alabama had time to bring in one five-star guy. He comes in, the other five-star guy goes out. And LSU just kept on trying to run the football with Fournette, and it was not possible. The other big game besides Florida State and Clemson was TCU taking on Oklahoma State. And TCU finally... they've been playing with fire all year. Several teams have been. TCU's been playing with fire the whole year, and they finally, they got whacked. Their defense has sucked the whole football season, and Oklahoma State just lit them up. Just lit them up. And this time, Boykin could not bring TCU back. And TCU falls to Oklahoma State, which now, sets that Big 12 is very interesting, Seminole Bill. There's a giant game that we'll get into, but your thoughts on Oklahoma State taking care of TCU? You kind of saw that coming as well.
Yeah, we went up against that team last year. The Seminoles did, and we noticed back then they had a lot of young, really pronounced young talent. And a few things last year went their way. They, had a much better record. They were in, their ball games. But they are one of the few teams in the conference, to me, that really plays – defensive, they've got a defensive brand of football. Them and Oklahoma both bring more defense than the other, people like Baylor and, Case. All the
Baylor
other ones seem to play. They're like a no-fly zone. They just fly it down there, and there's an NDL, no defensive, zone, if you will. And then they just.
And Texas Tech leads that charge, Seminole Bill. Texas Tech leads that.
They love to air it out. And it's fun football to watch, but in a way, when you get into the latter stages where you got to play the teams that really know how to anchor the defensive line a little bit, that's when you can get exposed. Unless you just totally leaps and bounds, being able to just, outscore them, outpoint them, then, that's the way they like to play football in the Big 12, it seems.
It really does. Okay, Somerville, and we're going to get into some of the big games that are going to take place this week, and there's one major, major game that will happen. And that is Oklahoma, 12th-ranked Sooners, who have one loss on the season, an awful loss to Texas. But if you're going to lose early against 6th-ranked Baylor, who is undefeated and right in the playoff hunt. But before we get to that, I just wanted you to go back, think a little bit about all your knowledge in college football and how long you've been following the sport. And I'm going to talk about the referees real quick. Not whether they're good or bad, but man alive, can you remember – season that had some really defining calls, right away, and there's others, but right away was Duke and Miami, where the refs blew that, and Miami ends up winning the game, and it's a downward spiral for Duke now. But then this past week with Michigan State and everything on the line and being in the playoff hunt against Nebraska and with the last play of the game or whatever it was, and the Nebraska guy, he goes out of bounds, comes back in. It's just a disaster, and Nebraska wins the game.
Yeah.
And Michigan State's done. I mean, that's a bad call.
Yeah, you know what? That is a tough call, but again, it's one that there's so many what you call the judgment area of the referee and where they say, well, when the ball's in the air, do you force him out of bounds when the ball's in the air? And does the receiver have a right to get back in bounds if he's not physically, if he didn't run out on his own? And that was where you have to make that determination. Did he run out on his own and come back in? Or was he really forced out where the ball was in the air. Could that have been a literally a pass interference type call if you didn't want to throw the flag that way, or you know, obstruct, whatever you want to call it. But he didn't. He, you know, obviously the ref let the play go, and guy comes back in and beats you. But, you know, just like the Georgia Tech FSU, last play of the game, and, you know, Michigan State, you know, punt blocks and all those things, when they hinge on one play near the end of the game beating you, if you've left the other team in the ball game that's supposed to be a lesser opponent, then, you know what? I hate to say it. It's a blown call, if you want to call it a blown call, but at the same time, you got yourself in that position. And that we said the same thing about FSU Georgia Tech.
Was it karma?
Michigan State. You know what?
Was it karma with Michigan State and Michigan? Was it karma, Bill?
Yeah, it could be. The big karma came back to bite them.
You know what, Bill? It's weird. It's like you can't keep on getting lucky like that. And I hate to say it for Florida State, but, you know, last year against Clemson and last year Florida State, all these last-second victories, that they always came out on top. And finally it was the other team, like a Georgia Tech. And in a way for Georgia Tech, it was karma for them because they've been on the other side of that. And I will say this, it was karma for Nebraska. Because how many times were they on the other side of that? What, four or five times this year? They lost on the last play or the last series. I mean, it's been awful for Nebraska, and finally it's the other way. So who knows? Okay, Bill, let's get into a couple big games this week. Sixth-ranked Baylor, who up until this point has played nobody. They have played nobody. They're sixth in the polls in the playoff system. They're going up against a 12th-ranked Oklahoma team that I really don't know what happened to Oklahoma against Texas that day.
Yeah.
Because Oklahoma's a decent team. I mean, their quarterback is firing on all cylinders. They have talent on both sides of the ball. I don't think they're a juggernaut, but then again, I don't think any team this year is a juggernaut. Who wins this game? Oklahoma travels to Baylor, and I'll say this. If Baylor wins, do they then jump a knock a Notre Dame out of it, or an Ohio State or an Alabama out of the poll, out of the top four?
Well, that's a good point. I mean, if Baylor wins, this would be the first, to me, one of the first, say legit, but the first.
That's true. That's right. Bill, you're correct.
Power team they played. You know, somebody that actually plays some defense on the other side of the ball. Now, you know, you've seen Oklahoma in certain situations in the past come in there all almighty about themselves, and they've had, you know, a couple of, you know, dog games where they just got the tar beat out of them, you know, over the last couple of seasons once or twice, kind of like they did to us a few years ago. But I think this Oklahoma team comes in here, they're ready to prove themselves. They're just on the outside of being in that, you know, top 10 scenario. I think Oklahoma comes in, and I think they do beat them. I think they beat Baylor by about 3 points.
So you think Oklahoma wins the football? Let me ask you this, Bill. How is it? I get these offenses, but how is it so easy for a plug and play quarterback? I mean, you know, they lose Bryce Petty from last year.
Great quarterback.
That goes to the NFL. They start a brand new guy this year. And he doesn't miss at all. And then you turn around, he gets injured, and you bring in this freshman, and they just continue to score.
Right.
How is that possible?
Some systems are very much what you just said. They're, if you've got the right type of quarterback to fit that system, it works. I mean, you can go back even to, you know, years ago, Spurrier, Florida, had a certain type of offensive scheme he ran, and, you know, he seemed like every year, even, you know, he that quarterback was able to fit in that system somehow. It's rarely he had a miss. And the same way, you know, with teams like right now, like Baylor, they've got a great they're bringing in those type of people that fit their system, and they're recruiting those type of quarterbacks that they know will work in their system. Rather than going out maybe after the top rated quarterback,
5-star kid,
they'll bring out the 0.5 or a 4-star kid that's
very
serviceable, a good quarterback, and in that system fits it to a T. And you haven't seen a miss. You know, going all the way back to RG3, really. I mean, RG3,
yeah.
I guess, you know, kind of opened the boat, but they just boom, boom, boom. And it's, you know, one of them may be a better runner than the other, but they all could throw the ball, you know.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. Real quick, one other matchup, and it's weird, Seminole Bell, what a difference 1 year makes. Stanford, seventh-ranked Stanford, going up against Oregon, and what always was a giant game is like nothing now because Oregon has three losses. Isn't it weird? Like, this game last year would be so hyped, but it's just not. You know, and now it's Stanford, but Stanford is all the pressure's on Stanford because they're right in the playoff hunt. It's all about them right now.
They've got a great team. They really do. Multidimensional quarterbacks, very, very good at getting the ball around, and then you've got your their version of our number four is our number five. And that young man right there, McCaffrey, he is a load, and he does not mind putting his head in there and then just, you know, unloading on you or just running by you. He's got speed, but he's also can be very physical. Stanford,
and I love their coach, too. I love Shaw.
Great coach.
Sometimes the coach matches the school. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And he matches. He's a
blue
Stanford
guy.
That's right.
Smart, but they work hard. They work very hard. It's really, really weird. You see them
isn't
run
that
like them run like a blue collar type. They bring their lunch pail to work, you know. But they're very intelligent about their play calling. They're calculating. They're precise. They play smash mouth football when they need to. They can beat you on the pass. They've got great athletes, you know, and they all, you know, use the gray matter because they're to get in that school. You definitely have to be, you know, A's and B's.
No offense
to anybody else. They're bright and they look really good on the field right now. And that wouldn't surprise me at all if they snuck into the playoffs somehow.
We got to take a break, Seminoleville. But you know what? Stanford epitomizes America. You know what I mean? That's what it's about. It's about exactly what you said. Extremely hard work and be intelligent. Be intelligent. Yep. So it's like they have the opportunity. And that's what the country gives you, you know, I'm drawing correlations here, and that's what Stanford gives you. So here's the opportunity, take advantage of being athletics, but also to get your education at the highest level. So, yeah, it's a great university. Actually, 2 years ago, I was on their campus. 2 years ago, I had a chance to go and be on Stanford's campus, and it was just, it was something else. I drove away, and I felt, you know what, I think I'm a little smarter.
Rubbed off.
I actually got out of the car and I just had an extra notebook and I carried it around with me, acting like I was going to school there just to blend in. Right through me though, Seminole Bill.
Your brother used to think that way at school. He thought he could get things by osmosis. He would, you know, go to sleep he's telling me I did that. He told me I would go to sleep with my head on the book and I still did go on the test. I don't know how, if it ever just, you know, but he said he had to work extra hard and I would go to sleep earlier, put my head on the book, and somehow it just absorbed it. I don't know.
And this comes from the guy in high school that had like a 4.4 GPA. So it just shows you what it's called is apply yourself a little bit, and he chose not to. But he did graduate from Florida State along with you, so that is fantastic. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk some Florida State football, the matchup against Clemson, and of course, this week's game against NC State and what the Seminoles are playing for. All that coming up next right here on the Mark Lloyd Show. Stay with us.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7EVENT-1, 877-7EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
This is Bill Bassett
and Eric Sweeney
with Bassett Promotions, producers of The Mark Lloyd Show. Want to put your brand with a proven winner? Outstanding advertising and sponsor opportunities are currently available for The Mark Lloyd Show. Give us a call at 877-738-3681 and we'll discuss ways to get your company on the airwaves right here where Tallahassee comes to talk on the all-new Freedom 93 FM.
And now, a man that knows everything, Mark Lloyd.
Thanks for spending your Saturday morning with us here on the Mark Lloyd Show. We do appreciate it. We enjoy talking some college and NFL football with you and just life in general. Well, Seminole Bill, how is life in general up in Tallahassee with the Florida State Seminoles right now? If you had to take a temperature gauge of the fans surrounding the Seminoles and of the Seminoles themselves, what is that? Are they medium? Are they hot? You know what I mean? Ice cold? What would you say?
Well, I think probably the buzzword is just very disappointed. You saw the game. We knew that we'd have to play above ourselves in terms of above our maturity, in terms of how we've been, this team's been coming along. But I've heard it thrown out there that this loss definitely hurt more than the Georgia Tech loss. The Georgia Tech loss, I guess they could rationalize away. You know, they were in the ball game, they were leading the ball game, and then, one play kind of did them in. But here it was just that they felt like they were matched up well, that they played a great ball game through, at least three quarters worth, and then into the fourth. And a few things here or there fall their way, and maybe the outcome is different. But you're playing the number one ball club in the country. It's a rivalry game in the ACC and our side of the conference. It's for all the marbles. For better or for worse, we've been on the other side of these games as well, and then come out where we've won them. Sometimes big. When Jameis was here, and then another time, last year where we had to sweat one out because we had to go to a secondary quarterback. And sometimes, yes, things fall in your favor and sometimes they don't. This time it did not. Clemson, fights through and snatches the victory away from us. And long story short, a great run is over. But as Coach Fisher said, it's, time to start another one.
First of all, the positive out of it, Seminole Bill, is that the Florida State played hard. I mean, they played hard. The whole football game, you're right, they're up against the number one team in the nation. They're up against the best quarterback in the nation. They're up against a very, very good defense and a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball. Okay, so first of all, they played extremely tough football and were focused throughout the game. The second thing that stood out to me on the positive side is that the defense played outstanding. I mean, Deshaun Watson is going to burn you some with his legs. There's no doubt about that. But, boy, they played really, really well. And to top it off, the reason I say really, really well is because the Florida State's offense wasn't giving them anything. So the defense had to go back out there again and continue to do their best to slow down an offense that up until this point nobody has, and I don't foresee anybody else slowing down this Clemson offense because it is very dynamic, of course, led by Watson. And whenever they got in trouble, Watson bailed them out with his feet, not his arm, with his feet. And he's that good, and he's able to deliver the ball that quick. And so he's just an impressive specimen. And before we get to – in Florida State, Dalvin Cook is Dalvin Cook, man. The guy is electrifying. I mean, he really is. 194 yards with no passing game to help him out. And so, once again, Cook is just outstanding. The offensive line for Florida State, I felt, played not awful. I felt they played okay, exactly what you and I – said. And my final point, I'll let you talk some little, Bill, final closing thoughts on the game against Clemson and we'll move on to NC State. But I will say this. Shame on everybody last year when Winston said he's going pro. Everybody out there, shame on you, Seminole fans, that said, well, you know what? I'm kind of glad he's going pro because I can't take all this controversy that goes along with it. I don't know how I feel about him. Shame on you. I could honestly say that I'm one that says that you don't know what you're saying, and you don't know what you're missing until somebody with his talent level goes away, and he's gone. And you realize by looking at Deshaun Watson just how important it is to have a – if you don't have a great quarterback, you're done. You're done. The only way you get away with not having a great quarterback, Seminole Bill, is that you just have 10 other things that are super special on your team, and then you can hang in there, a la Alabama right now, because their quarterback's not great. Other than that, look at the rankings, Bill. Great quarterbacks is what wins you national championships.
Yeah, well, just take a look at what happened to Notre Dame and then, you know, even Ohio State with their situation last year and then going into this year. If they didn't have a plethora of quarterbacks, you know, what happens to those guys? Nothing. They move nowhere. Notre Dame's a great example. That boy, how you lose the guy.
I don't know.
You know, I mean, Golson transfers here because of there, and then, you know, you've got everything going for you with him, and then all of a sudden, boom, and you got a freshman in there, basically, you know. That's just really tearing it up right now. He hadn't missed a beat. And you talk about earlier some other guys not missing a beat. They have not missed a beat. And
that's right. Look at the contenders, Bill. The contenders have the quarterback except for Alabama, and their quarterback is just playing okay. He's not killing them right now. He's playing okay. But their defense up front is you know, keeps them in the game, and of course Derrick Henry running the football is a really good thing in the offensive line. But no great teams. You know what, Seminole Bill, and then let's move on to NC State. But I guess what really hurts so bad about Florida State losing to Clemson is because there really is no great team this year. I mean, Clemson is good. They're not great. You know, there's nobody great. So that's when you said going into it, man, I think Florida State has a chance. And to play them that strong, 16-13, that late in the game.
Right.
You know,
it speaks a lot, you know, to the team. Yeah. The defense just really brought their A game. They had a couple of you know, deep middle shots that you know happen when you're trying to man up with your guys and watch. There's only so much you can do. I mean, you got a talent like Deshaun back there, who literally, if you turn your back to him too long and get going on your covers. On your coverage, and don't get your eyes back to the quarterback. He could just, you know, if he gets an area where he can go, he quickly picked up, you know, 5, 7, 10 yards, 20 at a gallop, and he looked so, you know, again, he looked very easy when it happened. It looked, you look in there thinking he's got you know, a few yards, and wound up being 7 to 10 yards. He got because your defense, you know, forgot that you know, if they take your eyes too much off of him, he's going to be just taking up the middle. And hey, credit their game plan. They hung in there. They fought. You know, Clemson's this is their year in the ACC. We've had our share, and we're not going to go silently into the dark. We'll be back next year for sure. But I just hope that they go ahead and just take it all the way, like Coach said. You know, at the end of the game, you know, win it all. You know,
you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Now, Seminole Bill, we got to go to break in a minute. Jump ahead to NC State, comes to town against Florida State, and what is interesting about this is NC State brings in Jacoby Brissett. So he's not necessarily the guy that's going to run, but he's very hard to tackle. And Florida State saw that last year. They're a good football team, NC State. They put up, I think, 40 points against Clemson.
41.
And 41 against Clemson. So they're not. They seem to be catching their steam later on as the season has gone along. They've improved. So it's going to be a difficult game for Florida State. Jimbo Fisher, of course, named Everett Golson as the starting quarterback. So what do you expect from the Seminoles this week against NC State?
Well, yeah, you're hearing Golson, because we're hearing McGuire.
No, Golson, no. Golson, Golson was named starting quarterback.
Okay, my mistake then. But there was a lot of talk about that today, you know, the day leading up to, and so. But if he's going with Golson, then you know, then we have an opportunity to again, manage the game and get some other things working that may, you know, may not have been shown strong suit. But I will tell you this, I don't think they have a problem going to either quarterback right now. They seem to, Jimbo seems to think that either one of them, you know, can win ball games for him, and it just depends on what the other team does as to how they dictate that. So either one, you know, if you've Golson, you know, for some reason doesn't, you know, move the ball or doesn't, they don't respond to him, then, you know, Sean should be right in there, you know.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. So that's one of the positive things about him, you know, getting some experience. All right, so Bill, got a quick prediction on the game, and then we got to go to break. What's the final score?
I think we come back and we bounce back from a tough loss, but I think we're going to win the game. I'd say, let's say 35-21.
35-21, good score. I won't disagree with you on that, Summer Bill. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we have Mark Lloyd's locker room report for the Buccaneers as the Bucs get set to take on the Dallas Cowboys. He's on an awful losing streak, but they have to come to play in Tampa, where usually Tampa is a lot better team on the road. How weird is that? All that coming up next right here on the Mark Lloyd Show. Stay with us.
This is Bill Bassett
and Eric Sweeney
with Bassett Promotions, producers of The Mark Lloyd Show. Want to put your brand with a proven winner? Outstanding advertising and sponsor opportunities are currently available for The Mark Lloyd Show. Give us a call at 877-738-3681, and we'll discuss ways to get your company on the airwaves right here where Tallahassee comes to talk on the all-new Freedom 93 FM.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7EVENT-1, 877-7EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
All right, Buccaneer fans, it's your time. Time to head to Mark Lloyd's locker for the Bucs Report, right here on Freedom 93 FM.
Thank you very much, Seminole Bill. The Buccaneers get ready to take on the Dallas Cowboys Sunday, 1 o'clock on Fox, and also you can hear it right here on Freedom, on our station, right here, which is Gene Dekaroff. It's always great, Seminole Bill, hearing his voice, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, man. You can't go wrong with the Golden Pipes. Gene Dekaroff, one of the best in the business, one of the best in any broadcasters. We're fortunate to have him as Knowles, and even more fortunate to have him with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers here on Freedom 93.
You're absolutely right. Now, the Dallas Cowboys come in at Seminoleville to take on the Bucs. The Cowboys are 2-6 on the season. The Bucs are 3-5 on the season. But once again, You know how I did to the Seminole fans? Shame on you. Shame on you for about the Winston thing. Well, guess what? Shame on you, Cowboy fans, and for all you Tony Romo haters out there. You don't think he's important? This is why he's important. Because all they do is lose without him. They are on an awful losing streak, and it's do or die for the Cowboys this week. Most likely their season's over with, but if they have any chance, it is a must-win game for the Cowboys if they want to get into the postseason. But that just shows you how good Tony Romo is for the Dallas Cowboys and how hard it is to have an elite quarterback. That's why the Buccaneers should be excited about their future. For the Bucs, Seminole Bill, you know what? tell me if you could figure this out about the defense. They are 10th in the NFL against the pass, solid. 15th against the run, solid. So they're middle of the road, a little higher against, yet they continue to give up, you know, the points. And they continue not to help out the offense. You know, they gave up 31 points, and the Bucs, they only turned the ball over once, I think a fumble. Winston didn't throw any interceptions, so it wasn't like the Giants got the ball on the 5-yard line or anything like that. It's frustrating if you want the Buccaneers to win that their defense just needs to help out the offense a little bit more, Senator Bill.
Yeah, they do. And then this last game against the Giants, the turnovers actually came by the RBs. You know, you had a couple of turnovers there. And, you know, in situations where they could have put points on the board or, you know, moving drives down the field, that's what's hurting them. And it kind of goes hand in hand, Mark, because, you know, the offense needs to capitalize when they get in the red zone area or when they're on drives. They can't turn the ball over. You got to catch the football. Some of you guys out there know who you are.
Let's talk real quick, Senator Bill. We'll get to the catching of football, but let's talk about, the red zone. What's when you're watching the game? What's the deal with the red zone? How can they get out of this funk and start turning some of these red zone trips into 7 points?
Well, it again. There's got to be a. I guess what you're gonna say is you've got to feel confident that you can do certain things down there. And lately, it seems like Jameis has to find himself wandering into the end zone via the run or airborne like he did this last time. Amazing play. He's got to feel comfortable that he can step back, you know, and chunk a, you know, a corner route or say a comeback route or a, you know, a short pass ball, whatever it takes to get that ball in the end zone. Or the line's going to have to get a little bit more stout when you have, you know, when you're overmatched. And that's just difficult. When you get down in there, you know, unless you've got a power back, you know, you've got to be able to run through, and that's where Sims would come into play. You know, you've got to get that ball in his hands every now and then down there along the goal line and make sure that, you know, you're tough enough to stick your nose up in there or go over the top or whatever you got to do. Or just going to have to learn how to, you know, spread it out down there and try and, you know, get the ball in via the pass. And if you're going to do that, you know, you run the risk of you know, turnovers. If you can't just gun the ball in there, do you got on a slant route or get them like we saw on a comeback or you know, a corner, you know, corner route, whatever it might be. There's got to be something going on down there in the red zone to open things up for the Bucs. And I think you'll see some more wrinkles coming in.
And hopefully once Jackson comes back and Jenkins comes back and you mix in Mike Evans, that you have, you know, all three guys or whatever it is, all over 6 foot, 6 foot four that will be out there. Let's talk about drop passes and Mike Evans. He had a great game last week. 8 receptions, 152 yards, was targeted 19 times by Jameis Winston. He's obviously his favorite guy right now. But the problem is Evans dropped 6 passes. That's inexcusable for somebody that, you know, is supposed to be your go-to guy, one of the premier young wide receivers in the NFL. That's just ridiculous. And off the air, you mentioned that several of those are, you know, on third down conversions, keep the drive going. And Mike Evans just can't do that. He needs to help out Winston.
Yeah, and it's maybe, you know, again, all I can say is he's done this throughout the year, and it's maybe you're trying so hard. We've heard this before in other coach speak. You're trying so hard to do something, and then you're not. There's one or two little things you're not doing, and the one I saw that was really thought, you know, thinking about that is one hit him just right there. He has got his hands right in front of his face. He goes to get the ball in the hands, and just looks like he's trying to take off while he's doing it, and the ball goes, you know, right down. And that's just a shame because that, you know, he had some opportunities to make some even bigger plays with the ones he dropped, even maybe more so than some of the ones he caught. Which is, it's crazy how that works. Sometimes you consistently make, you know, a bunch of catches, then you drop several balls, and those are unfortunately sometimes the ones that cost you. And so did, I believe, our running back. Martin, I think he had one that was, you know, kind of right in his hands. It looked like it could have maybe gone for a big player, even a TD or something. But those are the ones where you just got to, you know, relax, catch the ball first, and then, you know, worry about your business afterwards.
Yeah, prediction for this Sunday, Seminole Bill. Cowboys versus the Bucs.
Well, you know, the Cowboys are going to be favored, obviously. They should be, even without Romo. they're in a desperate
situation. No, the Bucks are. The Bucks are minus one and a half.
The Bucks are leaving the point, but I would say on my side of the fence, I'm thinking the Cowboys are coming in here kind of like some of the other teams in desperation mode. That you set it up well. The Cowboys need this. You know, there's more probably than the Bucks do, but
sure.
I think the Cowboys, win by a field goal. I'm just going to say it that way.
Ooh. All right. I think the Bucks win by a field goal. So take that.
Oh, good.
We got to take a break. When we come back, we have our fitness tip. We have our water check. We have our entertainment plus single bill. As always, make some more predictions that will take place on the NFL's the biggest games this coming Sunday. Stay with us here, folks, on The Mark Lloyd Show.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
This is Bill Bassett
and Eric Sweeney
with Bassett Promotions, producers of The Mark Lloyd Show. Want to put your brand with a proven winner? Outstanding advertising and sponsor opportunities are currently available for The Mark Lloyd Show. Give us a call at 877-738-3681, and we'll discuss ways to get your company on the airwaves right here where Tallahassee comes to talk on the all-new Freedom 93 FM.
Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show. Thanks for spending your Saturday morning with us. Hopefully you're having a great Saturday. Hopefully so far it's been going well. And if you've been listening to the show, it has been going well. Okay, time now for our water check. It's important to drink lots of water every single day. Up to a gallon of water every day helps flush your system, gives you lots of energy, moves the energy around throughout your body. So we do a water check. Who is taking in the most liquid water, that is, H2O, over the last 24 hours between the crew here? Mark Lloyd is at 132 ounces, so I am rocking and rolling today. Yeah, I usually end up in first place. Am I in first place again, Little Bill?
Oh, hold up there, Mr. Mark.
Wow.
I think I got you. 138 today.
Wow. Goodness. That's a, you know what, Little Bill? That's a Mark Lloyd Show record. For water intake. Nobody's ever taken in more than 138 ounces.
I got some of the big smart water bottles, and
yeah.
I started slamming them. I love that stuff. That's good stuff.
Yeah, I do too. I do
I think
too.
I did at one point.
Uh-oh. Now, wait a minute. We're forgetting.
I did at one point.
We're forgetting. Terminus may have climbed a big
Terminus,
mountain.
What are you at? Quit. You got us in suspense.
I'm at 125, but I remember clearly one time I was in first place, and I consumed about 150.
150?
You know what? You know what? I do recall that, Terminus.
How in the world?
I think Terminus is the one that has
the crazy one.
The record here on the Mark Lloyd Show. Yes. So that's interesting. So, yeah, I'm glad you spoke up, Terminus. Okay, well, drinking all that water, that means it moves the energy throughout your body, helps burn fat. Another thing that helps burn fat is our fitness tip. Each week we give you one. You know what, Seminole Bill? This is for a beginner, and what this is work out every day. That's right, 7 straight days. It's important for beginners to form an exercise habit. Doing something daily, even if it's small, helps with consistency. So aim for about 30 minutes But make sure you do it every single day, and you'll get into a routine, you'll get your habits, and you'll be on the right track. How about that, Seminole Bill?
Very good advice.
Yes, it is. All right, let's before we get to the Walking Dead in our entertainment segment, let's look at some National Football League football games this coming week. Now that the playoffs are starting to take shape a little bit.
They are.
And one good game that I wanted to touch on was a Minnesota Vikings traveling to Oakland to take on the Raiders. The Minnesota Vikings, 6-2 on the season right now. They're playing really well, and the Raiders are 4-4. And they're a good football team. Who wins that game, Senator Bill?
Wow. Golly. Let's go with the Raiders. Let's just say the Raiders are going to come up and thump the Vikes.
The Raiders come up and thump the Vikes, okay. How about...
We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen with Bridgewater, you know?
No, that's true. No, you're absolutely right. The whole concussion stuff, that former Florida State LaMarcus Joyner ended up giving him, but I don't know what they're talking about. I get he's, but you don't know when he's going to slide and everything like that. Okay, but let's move on. The New England Patriots, 8-0. Do they stay undefeated up against the New York Giants?
Yes, they do. They certainly do against the Giants. Peyton's little brother is I don't know. Just this New England boys are on a real interesting ride, and maybe the Dolphins are starting, the old Dolphins that is, are starting to take note and wondering if these guys are going to try and do what they did one time before, which was try that undefeated season again. It'd be interesting. These guys are cruising right now. They really are.
No, they absolutely are, and it's just ridiculous how good Tom Brady is. I mean, it really is. All right, here's a big game. It's Sunday night, NBC game of the week. The Arizona Cardinals at 6-2 take on Seattle, who's at 4-4. So another must-win for Seattle at home. Do the Arizona Cardinals go into the 12th man stadium and defeat the Seattle Seahawks? Some of the Bills. The Seahawks are favored by 3. That should tell you something right there. They're only favored by 3.
That tells you that the Seahawks are going to win. I know they're only favored by 3, but look, these guys are again backs to the wall. They still got the heart of a champion. They've got a lot on the line here. They got to win these home games because nothing's easy on the road. So I think that's right. I think Seattle does win by field goal.
Very, very good. That is a good game, and you're absolutely right, Seminole Bill. That should tell you something. With the Seahawks, with even though they're favored.
Vegas has no heart.
That's right. Vegas has no heart, no doubt about that. You know who also has no heart, Seminole Bill? All those zombies in The Walking Dead, all those walkers,
right.
They have no heart, that they finally made it to Alexandria. So now you have about half of what was in that quarry pit up against the wall. My first question, guys, is do you think the wall holds up, or do you think the zombies eventually get in? Do you think the walkers get in, or does the wall at Alexandria hold up?
Terminus, I let you go first on these things. This is your area of expertise.
Well, seeing as how I'm all the way on the other side of the world, it feels like, the quality I was watching it in was okay, I guess. But there was a part in the episode that it looked like the wall was cracking or something was like...
Oh, yeah.
Something was going on with the wall.
There was something
the
there.
End of the episode.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was on my end, but it looked like it was cracking or the wall was bleeding. That's kind of...
I think that's interesting. You thought that. I think the wall holds. I think that it holds, and that was just blood seeping through because when they all squish up against each other, they just break up, and I think that's what that was. Because everybody, they did show it on purpose, so I get that. I don't think that was any big deal. But I guess my question is, I mean, Maggie revealed that she's pregnant now. They still haven't let us in on what's going on with Glenn. So we have
alive
no idea if he's alive or dead, and they're really stringing us along. Let me ask you guys a question. How much longer do you think they leave us wondering?
I don't think much longer.
Is he dead or is he alive? And one other thing, they left him out. of the opening credits. Steve Wynn is the guy's real name, or Steve Young, or what, something like
right,
that.
Right.
But his name was left out of the opening credits. So that was kind of interesting.
He didn't appear.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. I think they got to make a decision quick because this is really weird. You hear and read things here and there, and you just know that he is really this one really struck a nerve more so than most. So I guess we'll see what happens, but they got to solve that mystery soon because I don't think the fans, for whatever reason, didn't respond in the liking fashion they thought they would. It's The Walking Dead. You're always talking, Mike. They do a great thing about not letting you know or get comfortable with people, and that they let you know right from the get-go that they're not afraid to take some people out and make the show work with what's left. So we are getting some
true.
New character introductions, you know.
But you just wonder how long they string us along with that before people start losing and becoming impatient with the whole thing. But
yeah.
So Maggie is pregnant. You know, there's leadership questions now, what's going on, and there's that one wolf that's still down in the basement, and he hasn't, they didn't go to him at all on the last episode. So it wasn't a very exciting episode, but it was kind of cool to see all the walkers up against the wall. I thought that was kind of neat looking. And now you got to wonder, what do? They can't really go out. Where's Daryl? Where is Sasha? And where is, what's the red guy's name? I can't think of his name.
Oh.
With the redhead guy.
Abraham?
Abraham, yeah.
I think it's Abraham.
So we don't know where they are and if they're fine. Because the upcoming week, the preview this week looks like it's a lot about Daryl, that he's out in the middle of the woods on his motorcycle. I don't know what he's doing out there. But it seems like he's going to focus on that. Yeah, I guess so. I guess you're absolutely right.
Man.
So this upcoming week looks like it's going to be a great one.
Yeah, they'll come back strong. You know, you got to weave a little bit of thing. You got to weave some fabric into the story somewhere because everything they do is like a football play. You set something up to be able to go one direction or the other.
Yes. Hey, Terminus, do I have time? I wanted to talk real quick about James Bond movie, Spectre.
You got
producer
about 2 minutes.
I got about 2 minutes left. Okay. Well, I told you last week I was going to see James Bond, Spectre movie, the last Daniel Craig James Bond movie. And, it was really good. It was pretty cool. And what was really interesting, too, is that I didn't know this, but the main villain's henchman, you know, the one guy, like, remember back in the day they had Jaws? Now,
right.
The guy that was in this one was Dave Bautista. And he was with World Wrestling Entertainment when I was at World Wrestling Entertainment.
Yes.
So I always remember interviewing him, and next thing you know, he's made it big time. I mean, he's a starring role in a James Bond movie. So that was pretty cool. Yeah, that really was. Overall, the movie was fantastic. Tons of action. Good storyline. You really, really are learning a lot about Bond. You know, where he came from, who his parents were. Over the last couple of movies, from Skyfall to Spectre, first time I've ever seen his apartment, you know, or an apartment they said is his, you know, we've never seen that before. So it's pretty interesting. They also, in this movie, too, was the largest explosion ever caught on camera, something like that, the most explosives ever used. I can't remember what the world record was, but whatever it was when it came to something like that, they broke it. So I saw that behind the scenes. But overall, it was a really good movie, interesting movie, good plot, good everything, and now we wait and see who's the next James Bond. That's what we're going to wait for. Who will be the next James Bond? All right, that's going to do it for another edition of the Mark Lloyd Show. Guys, as always, jam-packed. We got to a lot of stuff that we wanted to get to, and we'll do it again next week, same time, same place, right, Seminole Bill?
Definitely. Mark, be sure you practice your English accent. You never know.
That's right. I'm about the same age that the Bond usually gets it. Very good, Seminole Bill. All right, for Terminus Eric Demand and Never Auditions for The Walking Dead, just to make Seminole Bill and myself mad, and Seminole Bill, who just gave me the encouragement that I need to send an audition tape to be the next James Bond, I'm Mark Lloyd. We'll talk to you next week. See you, everybody.